At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Even if they just say, hey, unaliving innocent people is bad.
Yeah.
Just for saying something like that, that seems so innocent, you can lose sponsors from that, right?
Yeah.
You can lose jobs. You can lose everything. Mm-hmm. Literally everything. People have lost everything. We got a lot to cover today, okay?
Do we?
Yeah. Welcome back, guys, to the Cousin
Connection
podcast. A lot happened this week. And honestly, I'm actually sort of glad that we're recording today on a Monday. We usually don't record on a Monday, but, you know, it's been a busy week outside of, like, whatever else has been going on. Mm. Like, in our own lives has been busy. So that's why we're recording today. But, like, there's updates on certain things I want to talk about that actually, like, kind of, like, put a nice button on them, right? So how was your week, Sarah?
Honestly, it's been hectic.
Mm-hmm. It's been hectic for both of us. But we, like, because of, we're doing the same thing.
Yeah, we
for
basically
a couple
have
of that. Yeah.
The same kind of jobs.
Schedule. Yeah. Oh, are you talking about your job?
No, like, I mean, like, in terms of the week, we have similar-ish, like, jobs in terms of, like, what we have to do.
Oh, yeah.
But also, like, we also have the same friend circle. So whatever Amir does, I'm doing too.
Yeah, and, like, the events we were part of.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, right?
Oh, we should talk about the what we did.
We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah,
we might have done, like, a little bit of a
presentation.
Yeah, a little presentation on stage for Shawalid. I don't know if anyone else knows about Shawalid. Oh, yeah, it's actually something exclusive to, like, Hariri people in general. But essentially, it's like
some regions in Yemen too. Yeah, as some per our presentation.
Exactly, as we've learned. Okay, what?
No, I'm just saying, like, you weren't listening to my point when I when I said.
No, no, I know. I'm letting you speak. Okay, I wasn't denying it or anything. Okay, but yeah, so like everyone knows, you know, we're told that if you fast 6 days of the month within the month of Shawwal, the Prophet said that it's as if you fasted the whole year. So in Harar, we actually have a custom where, like, people right after Ramadan will fast the next 6 days of Shawwal. And then after that, after those 6 days, on the seventh day, they'll have something called Shawwal Eid, where basically, like, people come together, they do zikri, they read Quran.
It's like this.
They, like, it's almost like another celebration, basically.
Yeah, like Eid 2.0, which is why it's called Shawwal Eid, because it's like the Eid of Shawwal, the six days that you fast.
Yeah. But and you'll not really find it anywhere else in the world except for Hariri Harar and some places, like you mentioned, in Yemen.
Yeah, like that's, I think, where it originated. But then it's primarily celebrated in the streets of Harar. And it actually is now recognized
by UNESCO.
By UNESCO. And like, that's a win for us. It's a W.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's honestly, it's a very, I think some people confuse it to be like, they call it bidah because they think it's a religious tradition. It's actually a cultural tradition.
Yeah.
Asterisks on the cultural tradition. And aside from, you know, the there are religious practices that take place, because usually, as we've mentioned in the past, Hariri culture and Islam are like this. So a lot of the cultural practices abide by religious
stipulations. I don't know what you say. Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
See, when the rules are reversed, you see how hard it is?
I gave something.
Yeah,
sometimes you're just staring at me, okay?
Because sometimes I really don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, for us, specifically for Shawwal Eid, one of the main reasons is because everyone knows, like, for African traditions in general are usually, or African, yeah, African traditions or African history and knowledge in general is usually transferred orally. So this is used as an opportunity for the elders to pass on their knowledge to the youth, through either, like, through songs that, like, mention stories of our prophets or the religion in general or our aqidah and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and they put it in song so it's easy for them to remember and they like pass it on that way.
But it also like I read this actually on the mm-hmm. UNESCO article that wrote about Shawwal Eid, yeah. and they were saying that, you know, traditionally in the past, it was the men that would go out with their, like, the boys that would go out with their fathers to mm-hmm. work and stuff, and the women would typically be at home.
Yeah.
And so Shawwal Eid was, like, the one opportunity for
oh, yeah, girls that was also a big out, thing, yeah.
To go outside, leave their homes, and basically be spotted, potentially, for mm-hmm. marriage. And so, yeah. Yeah.
And then the men tradition. Will stalk them home, see well, where they live.
Don't tell
me I'm that. Playing. Okay, I'm done. No, but actually part of the cultural tradition is also that if a man spots a woman that he fancies, mm-hmm. okay, and he wants to, you know, find out more about her, he'll mm-hmm. follow her home, mm-hmm. see where she lives. He won't go inside her. He'll see where she lives, and then he'll talk to one of his boys who might know family or one of his relatives that knows that family, and then they will approach the family. And usually, I think in our tradition, like, they don't actually meet until, like...
their nikah, their marriage.
Yeah, basically the nikah.
So, like, it's literally just, like, one look is all it takes.
Exactly. Love at first sight, I guess, literally.
For real. And then he's like, yep, I want to marry her. Mm-hmm. And then the family begins the formal courtship process.
Yeah. And it's, like, ultra halal version.
But, I mean, I think like, they allow, like, supervised conversations. Like with a wali, not wali,
oh, yeah, yeah,
wali,
yeah, yeah.
I think how you pronounce it. But yeah, like they have those and then they mm-hmm. make their decision like, yes, I want to proceed with this or no.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, we're skipping a lot. There's a lot yeah. of steps in between there.
Yeah.
Right? But the interactions are usually very limited.
Yeah.
Culturally, at least. Nowadays, you know, things might be a little different. I'm just saying, you know. But yeah, we were taking part in a presentation for that over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And there were some other things, but like I mentioned, outside of our own week, there was a lot going on in the world.
Yes.
And mainly actually North America. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I wanted to mention specific that's local to us, the mm-hmm. first thing I wanted to mention is something that surrounds the keffiyeh. Mm-hmm. So in the Ontario legislature specifically, I believe it was last week, it came out that the Speaker of the House essentially banned the keffiyeh from the legislature because he said that it's too political, like just the keffiyeh itself.
What?
I know, right? It's ridiculous how bad it's getting, like this censorship when it comes to anything even related. Like that, first off, the keffiyeh has like nothing to do with the political situation, like the piece itself,
it's just a cultural garment
basically, right? So you like at how far can you go? Because we've already seen what happened in Quebec, right? These guys yeah. already banned the hijab. And, like, I'm not sure if they've banned things like the, what is that called? The turban? Oh. I don't know if that was also part of it, but I believe that was also part of it. Any type of religious headgear or mm-hmm. headdress is banned in Quebec legislature. And, like, I know people are saying, like, this is the whole idea of, like, what's the next step? I don't think it'll go that far in Ontario, but it shows that the door is open to that. In the future, that fact that they can ban something like the keffiyeh, what's next? Essentially, that's what people are trying to get at, right?
You know what? That thought did pop up into my mm-hmm. mind, like, oh my god, what if hijab is next? But Ontario is too multicultural, I think, for them to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a little like extreme to say that it might go that far.
Yeah,
but like, we don't know what's gonna happen 5-10 years from now. You see that's how true. Things are going, right?
Very true.
You see, anybody who can watches any like post about Toronto in general, I've noticed this recently, or not recently, it's been going on for a while, but like the comments are getting more and more racist and more like inflammatory towards a certain group of people. And a lot of times they associate, when I say a certain group of people, I'm talking about South Asians in general. Even us, we've discussed this like in our own friend groups and stuff as well. But the comments are just ruthless yeah. when it comes to how they speak about them. And sure, you know, there is a problem with what's going on with immigration in the country. I don't know what the solution is, but one of the solutions is definitely not just making racist comments and making yeah. their lives like a living hell, basically, in the city.
Yeah.
But what I was getting at also is, I think there was actually a point I wanted to make generally, because I think someone made a comment on one of our TikToks or somewhere. The one time I actually checked the comments, it was something that I've heard before and actually we've mentioned before, but I wanted to reiterate it. I don't know. I got something in my nose. I don't know what it is. But essentially, it's someone who wrote down, like, why don't you guys ever mention Sudan or Yemen, right?
Someone said that. I missed that.
Yeah, someone wrote that initially in one of our posts. It was actually the post that, like, was getting shadow banned. And that was, like, one of the, like, few comments we were getting. Or a first one. Like, one from a couple weeks old. Not from this recent episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the best way to, like, explain it, I think I wrote it down here, is like the difference between what's happening in Palestine versus like Sudan or Yemen is that you're not risking losing everything by speaking out about Yemen or Sudan.
Yeah.
Right? The difference is that like you're risking your livelihood, you're risking your friends, you're risking your family in some cases, mm-hmm. because there are also Jewish people who are also speaking out against what's happening, right? Because there's a difference between what's being a Jewish person and a Zionist, mm-hmm. and they're trying to make sure that that line is made a lot more clear.
Yeah,
because people say, or they try to make that connection, right, between being anti-Semitic,
mm-hmm.
and towards Zionists, when really you're towards Jewish people in general, even though you're really being you're calling out the Zionists within the group.
Yeah,
because there are people who aren't Jewish that are also Zionists.
Right,
so. It's making that line a lot more clear. But just in general, anyone, like we've seen, there's another topic here I wanted to bring up as well, but like we've seen across the whole, mainly in North America,
mm-hmm.
because I guess that's what we're seeing mostly, is like anyone who speaks anything about the what's happening in Palestine, whether they even sound like they're, like, even if they just say, hey, killing, like, unaliving innocent people is bad.
Yeah.
Just for saying something like that, that seems so innocent,
mm-hmm.
you can lose sponsors from that, right?
Yeah.
You can lose jobs. You can lose everything. Mm-hmm. Literally everything. People have lost everything. Or what, quote unquote, everything, because they spoke out in support of the Palestinian people. So that's the difference in this case. And that's why it's being spoken about a lot more, because when you try and suppress something, it only makes it more important to speak about it, even like use as many platforms you can to speak out about it,
right?
Because yeah, we can speak about Sudan and we won't get suppressed on YouTube as much. We might not get suppressed on TikTok, whatever, but the moment we start, as we've seen last week, the moment we speak about what's going on in Palestine, like see the suppression.
The Iran retaliation video is even worse. Like, that one's really getting suppressed, or maybe it's just an aftermath of the first video that we posted. Like, I could tell.
Yeah, I think it might be an aftermath, honestly.
Yeah, and even, like, the rate that we get views on YouTube, like, was so slow last week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like, the shadow banning is real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually real.
Yeah. And it also could be, you know, I just didn't make a good clip. I'm sorry, guys, you know. My skills, you know, it's not there anymore. I don't know what it is, you know. It's just been so busy.
Someone's fishing for compliments.
I'm playing. but, yeah, to continue with that idea of like why we speak out about it, we've seen also from the other stories that came out today, like what happened in what happened in Columbia University,
what,
right?
Happened there,
you don't know?
I just all the news is blurring together in my head.
Well,
right,
I don't know if this started it off. Let's backtrack a bit. Did we speak about what happened to Asna Tabassum?
No.
Okay, well, there was a story that came out maybe a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
about Asna Tabassum, who was actually set up to be the valedictorian for UC Berkeley, or USC, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't, like, tell them what she was going to speak about yet. They just saw, you know, a Muslim brown girl. They saw her, like, post a couple things maybe in the past, like maybe recently or a few years ago. I can't remember how long ago it was, but she posted about Palestine, and she actually, like, retweeted, I think, like, an essay that was on it. And they said, like, and it said certain statements that I guess Zionists didn't agree with or whatever. I don't know. The school just didn't agree with in general.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they basically said, you're not allowed to be valedictorian anymore.
Damn.
Yeah. Did you not hear about this?
I saw the post. I don't think I just had the chance to read it, though. But I did see, mm-hmm. that she was taken off from being valedictorian. I just didn't read up on the why behind, mm-hmm. it.
It's important. We got to start reading on these things, man. We got to keep ourselves informed out here.
I know.
But because of that, I'm not sure if it's connected, But the next week, a lot of students in Columbia University started protesting.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah. What was happening in Palestine. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is that, like, you know, I think universities are meant for to be like breeding grounds for like
activism.
You know, activism, but also for like sharing ideas and, you know, being open to different schools of thought. No, they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Don't let's forget about the caveats.
No, I'm just saying at the end of the day, universities, schools are institutions and you still have to abide by their philosophies.
But that's the idea, I guess, behind it.
They encourage critical thinking, but not too much.
Exactly, right? So that's the ideal situation where you're supposed to be able to share ideas and be able to challenge them in like an open and unbiased court. I don't know what you would say specifically, like what that
I get what you mean.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
I'm not the best speaker here, guys. You know, 134 episodes, I'm just saying, okay? But so they actually started protesting. They had like a sit-in in an area that's actually
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Designated for protesters
yeah.
in the school. Like in the school, they have a courtyard that's designated for people who want to protest a certain cause.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing that. They were, you know, following through with their right that they have that the school gave them. And I guess the school did not like this happening. So they immediately, first off, they're like, we can't kick these students off. We can't say they're trespassing because they're students of the school, right?
Yeah.
So they started suspending the students first so that they have the legal right to say that they're trespassing and have the cops come in and remove the students from the school.
Yeah.
But also because they suspended the students, the students didn't have access to their dorm rooms, right? So they actually had people go into their dorm rooms and take out all of their items and like put them in trash bags and just throw them into the streets and alleys.
They can do that?
Yeah, because technically they're no longer students of the school and they said they were trespassing.
Are they permanently suspended? I thought it was like a temporary suspension.
I believe they're permanently suspended.
So expelled.
I can't say for sure though. I'm not sure. But they're suspended, I don't know, indefinitely. I don't know what the length of that is, but they shouldn't have been suspended to begin with.
Damn.
And actually, there is a rumor. I don't know if this is substantiated, but there's rumors that students who were trying to help the people who got suspended by getting their stuff out for them in a way that it wouldn't be broken were also being reprimanded for that.
What?
Yeah.
That's extreme.
Exactly.
That's actually extreme.
And that was going on over the weekend. I think it was like it started during the week last week, but I heard about it more over the weekend. And of course, there's a lot of outrage about this, right?
Yeah.
Even faculty of the school started speaking up about it. And the reason I actually was happy that we were recording today is because the next update after that is that the faculty of Columbia University came out in support of the students. And they staged like a walkout.
Good
for them.
So
they're all like protesting. They're saying all these students who have been suspended should be given amnesty and should be cleared of any charges. Like, we shouldn't charge them for anything and let them back into the school because they're just, you know, exercising their right as students. And they're doing what the school teaches them to do, right? Speak out for what you think, what's important to you.
I'm surprised the faculty, like teachers, spoke up because their jobs are in jeopardy now.
But I think it's because the whole school or a majority of the faculty walked out. It's like they're not going to suspend the whole faculty of the school, right?
True.
And actually, there's also another update where I believe it was, let me just see where it is here. Oh, yeah, the students actually also passed a divestment referendum to divest from Israeli companies and universities. So because the reason they were protesting initially is not only because for the Palestinian cause,
yeah,
but because the school was actually funding like Israeli projects and just Israeli companies in general. So they're like, we don't want you guys funding these school these companies anymore. And now the students made their voice heard by putting through this referendum. Mm-hmm. And of course they have the support now of all the faculty in the school. So I feel like that's like a positive turn of events for this whole situation, right? Because yeah, a lot of there's very little wins that we're seeing in right, in the situation in general.
Yeah,
it seems like it only continues to get worse and worse. But this is kind of like a positive light in the whole situation. And on top of that, another piece of positive news is that in UC Berkeley, mm-hmm, those students actually also staged an encampment or like a protest, a Free Palestine encampment. And really? They're currently basically doing what the students of Columbia University were doing as well.
Like a sit-in type
Yeah,
of
like
thing?
A sit-in like on their, I'm assuming maybe a designated area. I'm not sure. Honestly, it doesn't matter. They should be able to protest wherever they want, especially for such a justified cause like this. So they're also protesting this. So all these things happen within like the last week or two, basically. So, you know, and it's a positive thing also because this is our next generation, like our next generation of also like great minds, I guess you could say, because like UC Berkeley and Columbia are known for, you know, they're very prestigious.
Yeah.
Prestigious schools. Prestigious schools. Yeah, that's the word. And they're most likely going to be like the next influencers of our generation, like not internet influencers, like actual,
like real life world influencers.
Exactly. So it's good to see that, you know, a lot of them have their heads on right, basically. And that was some good news that happened over the weekend that I wanted to kind of like, you know, let everybody highlight. Know about highlight. Exactly.
I mean, you know, Gen Z does have a tendency of, for the most part, being unapologetically themselves and like willing to stand up for mm-hmm. what they truly believe in.
Yeah.
Which I've always admired about them.
Are they Gen Z though?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they are. I forgot. Like, yeah.
Well, I'm sure the majority of them are. Maybe there are some that fall yeah. into like the millennial age.
No. They are all Gen Z for sure now. So. At this point, because 21, 22 is like literally 2003, 2004.
That's crazy.
Or 2003, 2002.
That's crazy.
Wait, university. You're younger in university.
Yeah,
you're like 17 to 19, 20. So that means...
22.
Hmm?
17 to 22.
Is it 17 to 22? That's 5 years. Yeah, I guess, yeah, 22, because you kind of you 20, go in 22. At 17, but you usually turn 18 that same year.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess, yeah. So it is like 2003 to 2004, 2005-ish. Mm-hmm. So
we were full-blown kids at that point. mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah, but what were you saying about the Gen Z?
No, I was just saying, like, a lot of them are so, like, unapologetically themselves mm-hmm. that it makes me happy to see this new generation, like, mm-hmm. unafraid. Whereas millennials, I feel like a lot of us,
yeah,
you know, suffer from the same sort of, like, people-pleasing tendencies. We've mm-hmm. been silenced a lot of the times. Or we just, like, you're told to, like, just put your head down and work. Mm-hmm. And so, like, this new age of activism, I love it. I love mm-hmm. to see it.
Time is the ultimate equalizer, man. We're mm-hmm. gonna be, I don't know if that's the saying, but I feel like just with time seeing now that the next generation is actually woken up to the whole situation, and the boomers, you know, they're aging out of it, basically their influence will die out eventually. Like people say, you know, we will see a free Palestine within our lifetime.
Inshallah.
It's almost guaranteed, inshallah, but
yeah,
it's almost guaranteed, you know. Everything's by the will of Allah, but I think it's there's a light at the end of the tunnel, basically.
For sure.
Right? Of course, it might not be in the timeline that we prefer it to be.
Yeah.
But at least there is a timeline to where we can see that there is a positive end or outcome to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my God, my voice is like gone today.
Do you want some water?
No, I think it's just because I've been talking a lot this whole weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, today I was like done at work. Everybody looked at me. They're like, yeah, you must have had a crazy weekend, man.
I'm not gonna lie, I feel it now.
You're feeling it too, right?
Yeah.
Even for me, like, you know, as you guys know, I'm usually a lot more, you know, on point with my words and everything. You know, today is just, you know, it's because it's late and stuff. I'm just,
you know, it's really not that late.
I can't really,
you know,
I can't really think very well right now. I've been talking all day. I was at work. Okay.
It's literally the time is now. Oh, it's pretty late.
Yeah, it's pretty late.
7:53.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so another topic I want to talk about that's also local. What?
Can I guess what you're about to say?
What?
You're going to talk about the halal mortgages?
No.
Oh.
Nah, forget about that. We've already had halal mortgages in the country.
I know, but the outrage of people being like, Sharia law in Canada?
Okay, we can talk about that too. Yeah, I don't know too much about it. Let me know.
Well, you know what a halal mortgage is, right?
Like I've heard of halal mortgages and I saw the headline.
Yeah.
But I didn't really dig into it as much.
Basically, you know, in Islam, it's forbidden or haram to basically have like interest accumulated on loans.
Mm-hmm.
So some companies, third party companies, mm-hmm. instead of taking a loan from the bank and then owing them interest on your loan,
mm-hmm.
they replace it with fees, like just fixed fees that you have to pay instead of interest.
Yeah.
And so now the government is trying to bring that to all of Canada. It actually was already existing in Ontario, Ontario and Alberta. But now they're expanding it to all of Canada. And mm-hmm. some people are freaking out. But that's just it. There's not much else to it.
Well, yeah. People freak out for that. That's the whole thing that I was talking about earlier with the comments.
Mm.
Where I'm just noticing that people are just a lot more like unhinged in the comments.
Yeah.
And I used to think that like being anonymous online is why people felt so like, you know, brazen and like so open about saying whatever's on their mind. But now people are like saying it with their whole chest. Like they'll have their full first and last name, even middle name sometimes on there while they're saying the most like spewing like the most racist stuff on the internet.
But that's the thing. I feel like, you know, people have always said this before. Mm-hmm. Americans are like openly racist.
Yeah.
Canadians are doing it behind your face, like behind your back, sorry.
Or in the comments.
Yeah. But essentially like,
and like
never to your face is what I mean.
But what I'm disappointed by is that it's like, it's not only, you know, Faranjiach.
It's okay. You can say the word.
Can I say the word? It's not only white people in the comments, right?
I know. It's
people of all backgrounds.
Yes. People are racist towards their own kind sometimes.
Yeah. And like,
that's crazy.
You know, I guess in Canada, we're multicultural and everything, including our racism.
You know what it is? I think Canadians are projecting mm-hmm. their anger towards Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
They're projecting the anger that they have towards him,
mm-hmm.
towards like literally anything else. Any sort of change that's announced, they're going to project their anger.
Yeah. It's that whole thing of like when people feel like they have no power.
Yeah.
Over like, you know, people in a higher up position like Justin Trudeau. They pick on the closest victim that they can get to, right?
Justin Trudeau can you know, enforce a new positive policy and they'll still be mad. So, mm-hmm. like, right now, I think he's just got to go.
Mm-hmm. See, so you're falling into the rhetoric, too. You're like, oh, well, he's got to go.
Well, personally, if I, like, mm-hmm. we're
I don't
not
know.
Gonna
I don't,
discuss,
I don't
like,
know
politics and our political affiliation
We
here.
Wouldn't be able to either because my politics for Canada specifically is so horrible. I don't know much.
Same. But yeah. like if you're really looking at like just the trajectory. Trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. I got it.
Hey, yeah, I'm doing it too.
of the way that Canada has gone in the last like 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. it's a sinking hole. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. And I feel like every year Amir and I happen to have the same conversation about how much we hate it here and how we're trying to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's no relief. It just keeps getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
Gas prices have recently gone up.
Yo, it went up like 15 cents in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in Canada, like we do by liter. So when we say 15 cents, if you're in America, multiply that by 4. So let's say, like basically, think of your prices going up by a dollar overnight.
60 cents is not a dollar.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, Sarah. Don't do the math for me.
Well,
what are you doing, man?
Come like, on.
I didn't mean for you to do the math, okay? It's called like exaggerating.
Okay, fine. Yeah, yeah. Imagine if your gas went up by a dollar. That's crazy.
Exactly. Exactly a dollar. But yeah, so that was the whole thing. And like, I didn't realize it was happening too because the only way I realized it was happening is because I was driving to the gym and I looked at the gas station on my right, and it was literally like 50 cars deep.
Yeah.
Cars coming from every angle trying to get gas. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'm like, are you just wasting more gas waiting in line? Especially if you pick a Costco line. Like, if you're in a Costco line for 3 hours waiting for gas.
3 hours?
I don't know how long people are waiting. I've never waited in one of those lines.
It's not that bad.
It's probably pretty bad, no?
No, I've waited a couple times.
There's some that, like, wrap around the whole parking lot.
Oh, the Warden one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
one. Exactly.
I hate that one.
So, like, you might be waiting in line long enough to where, like, you've wasted gas idling for that long.
Ow.
What happened?
I'm just trying to, like, fold my leg. But these
it's called knees.
Stiff.
You know, you just bend it. Okay, I'm sorry. But what I actually was going to talk about was, have you heard of the story of Omar Zamir? No? Let me inform you, okay? So, I believe it was in 2021. There's a guy named Omar Zamir. He was walking with his family in a garage. He was, you know, they got into the car. And as he was trying to drive away, three men approached him in plain clothes. And this was actually around the same time that guy unalived, like, a whole Muslim family with his car. Like, he hit them with his car. Remember that story?
The one in London?
Yeah, the one in London, mm-hmm. right? So there was already tensions up. He's a Muslim man. He's a Muslim brown family, essentially, it to be exact. And, you know, that was the same same race of people that were unalived in that other incident. So he was already on edge.
Mm-hmm.
So when these three random men approached him and, like, were, like, asking him questions, he was scared for his life.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried to drive away.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the cops, one of the men jumped in the car, or maybe was in the path of him, like, trying to get away, and he hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And that person later, like, passed away in the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why you make that face? Okay, it's not good when people die. Okay,
yeah, it's not good.
Okay, but yeah, so after this happened, they immediately arrested him and they charged him with murder.
Manslaughter?
Huh? Murder.
Murder.
Murder. Like,
but didn't
to
the
say
guy
that was
jump
intentional.
But didn't the guy jump
I don't know
in
if he jumped
him?
In front of it, but essentially he hit him.
Yeah.
And they charged him with, like, straight murder, like first degree murder, like intentional to kill them, whatever. And this happened in 2021, and he was in trial for 3 years as this was going on, like trying to basically clear his name, right? To the point where I believe that when they were giving testimonies, the cops actually even lied about not the whole situation, but how the situation went down, where they basically said that the guy who actually got hit by the vehicle, he put his hands up and said, like, you know, I'm a cop or whatever. He basically made him aware, but he still continued to him, which he didn't do, because after 3 years, there was surveillance footage that came out of the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow the whole situation, it doesn't track with what the cops are saying at all. So essentially they were lying on this man for 3 years. The guy himself, Omar, like, broke down in the courthouse because, like, he was going through this for 3 years to the point where I think he was let out of jail at one point, just on bail.
Mm-hmm.
And when this happened, all police officers were against him. Like, they were speaking out against him. Politicians, including Doug Ford, spoke out and said, like, how could you let this happen? How could you let this man out of jail before his trial is over, whatever? And yeah, he was just found innocent. All charges fully dropped. He's like, literally, he could get up and walk out and he was free after 4 years of this going on. But that raises the question of, like, what if there was no surveillance footage of this situation, right?
It's sort of like, and I hate to compare this, but it's sort of like if you have a cop versus a civilian,
mm-hmm. it's always
the courts are always going to take the cop's word versus, like, it's mm-hmm. like, it's like if you have a domestic abuse case, a man versus a woman,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, usually the woman's favored.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's,
it's not fair.
Yeah.
But we already know our justice system, the American justice system, is anything but just. So mm-hmm.
No, but what I'm trying to get at is that, like, we're aware that the cops actually lied on the stand. They committed perjury, essentially.
Are they going to be held accountable?
That's what I'm saying. There should be some type of, they should be held accountable to some level, no?
Yes.
So, and the fact that, like, I feel like this story is going to be like brushed under the rug, essentially, because there was so much outrage at the time. I'm pretty sure all those comments, those people in the comments saying racist stuff were there at the same time saying stuff against this guy and his family, because his wife, I believe, was a hijabi as well. So, like, you know, in for the Muslim community in general, we don't really have the best relation with cops to begin with.
Yeah.
So this probably didn't help with the whole situation. But now that we were found, he was found to be innocent in the whole situation, like, What are the repercussions for the people who lied on him, and like the people who basically considered this man guilty before he was found innocent?
There should be repercussions, because I'm sure it's an offense, a criminal offense, to lie in jail, lie in court.
Lie in the court. It is, but I don't know if there will be. But I feel like the community, the Muslim community, and just the citizens of Toronto in general should be speaking out about this a lot more, to hold these people accountable, and something should be done at least.
Yeah, for sure.
So hopefully something happens. I just heard about this. Well, he was just acquitted of all charges, I think today or yesterday. So we'll see what happens. It's still developing, right? But yeah, that whole story was something that I just found out about recently, but I'm surprised that like it's not something that was spoken up or called out a lot earlier.
Maybe because people just like,
or maybe I just wasn't paying attention. It could be that that's the case. It could be the case that like it was getting a lot of attention, but
yeah,
just weren't aware of it until now.
I don't remember seeing it on the news though.
Well, it happened in 2021, right?
No, but this. Well, I guess it happened today, right? Maybe it's going to be on the news, and then
It was on the news.
It was.
Yeah, I'm not sure if like the Toronto Instagram pages. I believe they've actually posted about it as well.
They were able to post it. I thought.
Why not?
Don't we have that whole ban on
news? Like they can post headlines,
yeah,
they can't put on direct links to things. Something that's still annoying to this day. There are so many people where they'll send me an article or like some video from America, but it's banned here, and like people are always surprised by
is that why sometimes when people send me stuff I'm like, is this private? And they're like, no, it's there, yeah, it's public
because of that. What, you never put that together until now?
No, because that happened to me today.
Someone
sent me a video.
We literally talked about this multiple times.
No, I know. Yeah. But I just didn't, like, they sent me the video and it said, like, oh, the video is either privated or removed. So I responded. I'm like, oh, I can't see the video. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, but it's still there.
It'll say unavailable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so I couldn't see it.
Yeah, so
but then they
the
screen recorded and I saw the whole video and I was like, it wasn't even
but
like.
That's the reason. It's because it's banned in Canada. You didn't know about that? Even your Google searches are messed up because of it. Like, you can't get proper Google searches on stuff because a lot of the articles and those websites are blocked here. We talked about this multiple times.
No, I know. But, like, why are they banning it from Google? I thought it was just, like, Meta.
No, it's any new source. Any, like, it wasn't Meta. It was any, like, news agency is blocked in Canada if they don't. Is it any news agency? Sorry, I might be. You know what? I'll need to look into it again, because it might be just Meta. I'm not sure.
I thought it was Meta.
But I did realize when I search stuff. When I do search stuff.
Yeah.
I need to double check that. I need to check that. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know. She needs to fact check that for me. It might actually be fine on Google.
Is it Bill C. something?
Because I use a VPN for the most part. So.
Do you?
Yeah.
Anti-Terrorism Act? I don't think this is it.
Oh no! Okay, that's the wrong one. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You won't find it on. You're not going to read the whole bill in front of these people right now.
I know,
now,
but that was like totally off.
Yeah. We've been saying it wrong this whole time, too. I'm pretty sure we mentioned that before.
We have.
It's whatever. Okay. Sorry, there's guys. A bill that like blocks it. Maybe it is part of it. Because you know how they put stuff. Speaking of like put like hiding things inside of certain laws, like they do that in America a lot.
That's like, messed up.
Yeah. Like recently they had that whole package where they gave funding to Taiwan. They gave funding to Ukraine, and they gave like billions of dollars of funding to Taiwan, Ukraine, and of course to Israel, right? I think it was like $26 billion to Israel and like $56 billion to Ukraine. And I'm not sure, like a few billion to Taiwan as well.
Mm.
But inside there, they also hid, I believe, the TikTok ban. like a certain stipulation of the TikTok ban. And now that was in Congress. I think they still have to go through the Senate, but it's guaranteed to go through the Senate. So essentially, once Biden signs this, it's gonna become, it's gonna come into effect. It doesn't become banned. they have a year now, because before it used to be, I think, 6 months, mm-hmm. but now they extended it to a year that they have to sell the company. But then, of course, also ByteDance came out and said, like, nah, like, we're going to fight this in court. Like, you can't do this. This goes against the freedom of speech of your own citizens and yeah. us as a company.
Yeah.
So they're definitely going to fight it in court. Like, even after the year, I don't think they can ban it if it's still in court. So it's going to take maybe multiple years for this to be finalized. The court is kind of more in the conservative favor, so it might not go. They might actually just deny ByteDance's request to stop this ban, but at least it will be delayed by a couple of years. And by then, you don't know where TikTok will be, right? Like, that's things true. Are changing so quickly on the internet. Mm-hmm. We could be on a new app by then,
potentially.
Yeah, unless, yeah, I can't say that for sure, because I feel like at this point, what else? I can't underestimate the internet. That's the thing. I was about to say, like, what else can they make? But then listen, we weren't expecting TikTok
or Clubhouse.
Clubhouse died, you know, I'm just saying.
There's apparently like a new like fusion between Clubhouse and Twitter.
But like, no. Twitter has a version of Clubhouse in it.
I know, no.
Yeah.
But now there's like a whole new app. I forgot what it's called, but there's a new like fusion between the two where like,
I don't think it's going to hit.
Your tweets are like voice notes, basically.
Your tweets are like, oh, I see what you mean. I don't know if it's going to hit as well. Yeah. But then again, the people who are on Twitter might be looking for another platform, because a lot of people just think that Twitter is dead at this point.
Is it?
Like, people are hating Twitter just for the changes, and like they feel like there's a lot of like,
but there's no censorship anymore, right?
On it. What?
There's no censorship on it anymore, right?
Well, there's never been censorship on it.
Actually true, yeah.
Yeah, well, like there was censorship to a degree where like, if there's false, I believe, stories being put out, then they would take them off or ban them. But it depended on, like, it went through like a personal review before they actually banned any of those things. Because there's that whole like issue with like a Biden laptop and all that. I don't want to get into that, but that's basically what sparked a lot of the like censorship. What do you call it? The censorship controversy.
Yeah.
On there.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, you know, shout out to Omar Zamir, inshallah, you know,
he
can continue life from here and be able to move on from this.
Yeah.
And like, he's left alone, and there has been funds put out for him, like GoFundMe. So at least he might be getting some support from the community to allow him to continue his life and hopefully move on from this.
Yeah, inshallah.
Mm-hmm. There was one last thing I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely don't know about this, because I didn't know about this, or I didn't know about this channel. I knew about the people, but I didn't know about this channel until like last week. There's a channel called Watcher. And do you remember, you know BuzzFeed, right? Do you remember there was a video series on BuzzFeed where I think it was like cheap to expensive or something like that, where basically these guys would like get like a $1 meal, or like a $1 burger versus like a $100 or $1,000 yes. burger. It was like that Asian dude and the white dude, right?
Yeah.
So I forget their name. Sorry, I'm just going by the races here. I'm sorry. You know, sorry, okay? But the Asian guy, he actually started a channel with a few other guys from BuzzFeed called Watcher.
Okay.
Initially, they were on BuzzFeed, and they had a series where they would do like crime, they would investigate like haunted places, or like crime places where crimes were
crime
committed.
Scenes?
Yeah, like crime scenes. Not active crime scenes, but
yeah,
like haunted stuff happened, basically, yeah. Right? And they'd also like have a series where they broke down like crime drama stuff. I can't say exactly because I didn't watch them. Like I said, I just learned about this. But let's just say they had that. It was very successful on BuzzFeed, to the point where they basically pulled the Try Guys and they left BuzzFeed and just made their own channel. And they were successful in their own right. They got up to like 1 million subscribers.
Good for them.
Yeah, they started expanding. Like, their production went up. And eventually they're like, you know what? This is starting to become more expensive. So they came out with a video recently where it was labeled Leaving YouTube. Essentially what they did is they were like, you know, our production is getting more expensive. We want to be able to make more videos for you guys and, you know, up our production quality and do a lot more. So we're going to stop putting videos on YouTube, and we have our own streaming platform called Streamer, where we're going to make you guys pay $5.99 a month for basically all the content you used to be getting for free.
You actually bought into it?
No, the internet hated it. That's why it's a controversy. You wouldn't be hearing about it if they liked it.
Like, they are the only program that's going to be streamed on this thing?
Yeah, like they had, they're the team, and they're just going to be like producing a bunch of different shows with that team on there. But like the controversy is the fact that, like, first off, like, no one told you to start hiring, because they eventually got to, I think, like a team of 25 to 30 people.
Yeah,
producing
but
for like a one
them?
Channel.
Doesn't YouTube pay them enough?
Well, like YouTube, AdSense pays, but it doesn't pay for like the size of the team that they had.
Gotcha.
Because a lot, I see this happen a lot with a lot of YouTubers, where they kind of like, they expand, they get into this like Hollywood mode where they think they have to make like these big productions, like TV shows for a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And eventually they become like a victim to like YouTube AdSense and have to start going, because YouTube AdSense can only give you so much depending on the content you make as well. Mm. The amount of money you make also changes. Also, audiences can be fickle. Like, they can, you know, watch you one day and stop watching you another day. Mm-hmm. So they became more reliant on advertisers and looking for advertisers. But of course, over the years, the advertisers are like, yeah, you know, we're not really seeing as much of a return from advertising on you, so we can't be giving you as much money anymore. Mm-hmm. So you have to look for new advertisers, and they were starting to get sick of that, right? Like that whole run of like trying to get revenue running for their whole business that they just built.
Right.
So they thought that making a streaming channel would be like the best solution to this. But the way they went, the thing is, there's nothing wrong with making a streaming channel, right? Or a streaming app. But like, it's the way they went about it. It's the fact that they said all the stuff that you're used to watching, you're no longer be able to see it unless you pay us.
Yeah, it's not cool.
And they later like
did they backtrack?
They had two backtracks. The first one, they like made it clear in the comments, they're like, hey, you know, we're still gonna be so here on YouTube, we're gonna be posting trailers to our shows, and we're gonna be posting like the first episode to the series, but then you're gonna have to watch the rest of the series on our streaming platform. And people are like, but we were getting this for free before, like what's going on?
Yeah.
And another like kind of icky thing here is the fact that they had a Patreon, and they had like thousands of people help, like,
so
supporting them on their Patreon.
That?
That's what people are saying. Like, you had a Patreon where you're getting support there. You're getting, like, $100,000 a month. The people were, like, trying to calculate. You're maybe getting, like, that much a month. You could have, like, maybe took that idea of, like, maybe what they were getting on the Patreon and, like, made that into a streaming platform where you still have the best of both worlds. But they just, like, tried to cut off their whole audience. And they actually, at one point, they made a comment. They're like, it's only $5.99 a month, y'all. Right?
The audacity.
Yeah. And the internet did not like it.
I don't blame them.
You can't see dislikes on YouTube, but it had 26,000 likes, which seems positive. But then there's an app where you can, or an extension where you can see the dislikes. And someone said, like, it's 202,000 at this moment. And it only got worse. Yeah. And of course, the internet didn't like it. Some other pieces to it were like, they were talking about like how their production was going up, and I think I mentioned how like these guys, they kind of get too big for their own brand.
Yeah.
And eventually, I think today, which is another update for why it's kind of good that we're recording today, is that they basically backtracked. They're like, okay guys, we messed up. So
really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So but they didn't give up on the streaming platform altogether. They basically said like, okay, so what we're gonna do now is what they should have probably done before, because I've seen other channels do it. They're going to post their series like a month ahead on the streaming platform. And then they're going to post it on YouTube a month later.
Yeah.
And they're also going to have some exclusive content on there, but like they're going to keep their main series on YouTube, the stuff that got them popular. Because also the you're kind of like biting your... You're shooting yourself in the foot, because you garnered an audience from YouTube, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in the future, like, how are you going to continue to grow your audience if you're not posting on YouTube, right?
Exactly.
You need to have something on YouTube to gain that audience and then create, like, a fan base. And then once they want to eventually realize that they want to support you more, that's when they move on to, like, your streaming platform,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And I think the best channel that does this, I don't know, do you know about Corridor Crew? They're basically like, they're a VFX channel.
Okay.
Where they make like, you know, like these skits sometimes using VFX and the skills they learned and everything. And they actually started their own streaming platform as well.
Oh.
And the way they did it is that very similar, where like they post stuff ahead of time, but also they have like exclusive series on that platform.
Yeah.
But the thing is that those exclusive series, they were never on YouTube to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the audience is missing out on anything. They didn't know about it before. They're not going to know it until they start paying for the platform. And also, like for the series that are on YouTube, it's like some people are like, oh, I'll just wait a month, right? But the incentive for watching it on YouTube or the incentive for getting it on their app or is to get more content from it. Like, let's say there's a video they make that's 30 minutes long. On YouTube, there are only certain things you can do. Like, you can't swear. You can't show, like, blood. There are certain things you can't show. But on the streaming platform, they can show whatever they want. So that's also a plus for someone who wants to pay for their platform. And also, there's, like, exclusive there's like extra content from the videos, like maybe extra reactions. If it's like reaction video, there's more reactions. There's maybe they give more details in the paid service. So there are different ways of providing people like more bang for their buck by going onto their platform. And I feel like
it worth their while just to pay for it.
Exactly. A lot of people are saying like, why don't you just talk to other YouTubers who are doing this before just coming out and kind of like just like throwing it on people like, hey, you're not gonna be able to watch our stuff anymore until you pay for it, basically. Because there's a lot they could have just learned from other people who tried it themselves. But that was something that happened on the internet that really just it kind of exposed this disconnection a lot between like these channels who want to become TV shows and they see themselves as like TV show producers, not realizing that they're on the internet and the internet works differently. Also, you swallowed very loud there. I heard that through the mic. The whole audience is going to hear that now.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Damn it. I was thirsty. Mm-hmm. No, but I was going to say, like, YouTube had, like, TV shows before.
Yeah, and look, none of them worked out.
But during that time, it was, like, very popular because I used to watch them.
They're popular for a time until people realize that, like, this is not what we come to YouTube for, right?
Yeah, they look for a short form. Medium form content.
Yeah, like I think there's actually a guy on YouTube called CoffeeZilla. Mm-hmm. He usually makes these like mini documentaries where he calls out people who are doing like crypto scams or some type of financial scam in general.
Yeah,
and he puts a lot of production into that main channel where he's like he has a whole like studio where he's doing 3D animations.
Wow.
He has like almost like a storyline going throughout it. It's almost he has this crazy setup inside there. And he has a second channel where he literally just sits in front of the camera. He calls it The Void because it's just black behind him.
Okay.
And he covers more like
current events.
Yeah, exactly. That are related to what he normally talks about on his main channel. And ironically enough, those videos actually do almost as well as his main channel videos. But he can get out those videos a lot more often, right? So he's like, yeah, I realized that on YouTube, even though he likes doing the production stuff and he'll continue to do that because he likes it, he could just do this simple thing and it works because on YouTube, people aren't looking for these high production values a lot of times, right? The biggest YouTuber on what used to be one of the biggest YouTubers on this platform, PewDiePie.
All his
videos were just him in his room in front of his camera playing games.
Yeah.
And it became the biggest channel on there. And a lot of the biggest channels on YouTube right now are people just sitting in front of a camera talking about a current event, talking about like the current beef going on between like Drake and Kendrick or playing a game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't even show their face, right? Because people just like this more personalized content. Mm. I feel like YouTube doesn't feel as personal. TV doesn't feel as like personal. You don't feel like you're getting the personality, and I feel like people go to YouTube for the personality.
Yeah,
right.
I get what you mean. Yeah, I mean TV is produced for the masses. YouTube is
exactly
produced for a specific audience.
Exactly, which I think they kind of over time. I don't know. Maybe they just lost that connection with their audience, or like they forgot that was an important part of YouTube production or being a YouTuber, that connection with your audience, and they just continued to up their production to the point where it just felt like you're watching another TV show.
Yeah,
and a lot of people just don't come to YouTube for that.
Yeah, I get that.
Sure, there are some people it works for, but it's very rare, and a lot of times I notice it's not long lived. Like people start to lose interest.
Yeah.
I think the best company who's probably or the best people who have not best people, the best team that's figured it out is like the College Humor team. Because they came out with a streaming platform called Dropout. But I think they also realized that, like I mentioned, the important thing is people being able to connect with the personalities on there.
Right.
So the people that are on that platform, like they have they seem very more a lot more personable.
Yeah.
Right. So you feel like you can connect to them, and I feel like in a nerd community, I feel like that's something that works a lot more. But maybe for the videos that these guys were doing on the Watcher team, it didn't really work as well. But yeah, it's an interesting thing that happened on the internet. Hopefully they'll come out, you know, unscathed, but like they'll at least come out
learning a valuable lesson
and won't be hurt too bad from this, because they do have a pretty big team that's on their payroll, and it would suck to have them fire half their team because of this mistake that they made. And like, anybody would feel horrible if they felt like whatever something they did ended up with like 15 people losing their jobs.
Of course that'd be horrible.
Yeah. So hopefully they can continue with what they were doing now. Mm-hmm. And they're still continuing with the streaming platform. And hopefully now that people are more understanding, people are more understanding of where they're coming from, they might actually gain an audience on that streaming platform that can continue, let them facilitate whatever they wanted to do on there to begin with.
Hopefully. I mean, we'll see. I'll look that up, because I've actually never heard of that channel
Once you search up the Watcher channel and you see their faces, you'll recognize a few of them, I'm pretty sure. Like, you've seen the BuzzFeed videos in the past, right?
I have, yeah.
So I feel like you've at least seen their faces here and there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but they're very popular, and, you know, hopefully it's just a valuable lesson for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, you got anything else for me?
Actually, yeah, something that you probably didn't even realize.
What?
Yesterday.
What did I do?
Yesterday? You have no idea what I'm about to talk about.
No.
Really?
What did I do yesterday?
You forgot something, a very important date.
What was yesterday?
April 21st.
What's April 21st? Oh, our anniversary?
Yeah.
Is it actually?
No, it's our 3-year Cousin Connection anniversary.
Oh, shoot. I completely forgot.
Cousin Connection is officially 3 years old.
Okay. 3 years?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like 3 years.
You know, it actually hit, like, I knew it was coming up as soon as April came. I'm like, okay, like, you know, we'll do something. Mm-hmm. And we went to a friend's engagement dinner yesterday, and I was talking to somebody,
yeah,
like at the dinner, and she was like, oh, how long have you guys been doing it? Like, I watch your stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, actually 3 years as of today. So
the fact that you guys, I think this is a girl thing, like, y'all remember anniversaries, like, you remember anniversaries better than, like, birthdays. I don't know what it is.
No, I know birthdays, too. Only people that I, like, speak to
often. I remember none of that. Anything.
You remember our, like, you know, mine, Gizman's. Like, remember.
Yeah, November 13th, right?
But, like, when I was thinking about it, and I was, like, reflecting on the fact that, like, 3 years of this podcast, and the family has grown so much. Mm-hmm. We've gotten to have so many different conversations. I feel like we've grown as people.
Yeah.
Just a little self-reflection moment for a quick second. And it just made me excited for what the rest of this year.
Yeah. I feel like we have a lot of content planned.
Yeah. Like a lot. Like, yeah. I think more than we had anticipated.
Exactly. And also, I don't know if I should mention this now, but like, we're not going to be here a week or two from now.
We'll probably, like, we'll still record next week, so yeah. you'll get next week's episode too.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna try to record from where we're going, but you know, it's gonna be a little tricky. So
we may or may not have a new travel vlog coming up, because I know that, like, you guys really enjoyed the vlogs from our trip to Europe last time. So,
well, the ones that came out.
Yeah, we didn't release some of them, but we already explained why. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're excited for this trip.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one. I think you guys will enjoy the vlog content, because we're actually putting thought behind, like, the production.
Well, like, I feel like we were getting our feet wet by the first one that we did. Like, we were getting used to the idea of it. We were more awkward there. We didn't know how to like talk to a camera. But I think like now that we know what we did wrong, like you said, learning from your mistakes,
exactly.
You know, we can improve for the next ones. And then, you know, hopefully the content actually comes out properly and we don't mess up. But we'll see.
And hopefully Amir doesn't forget the camera on the plane.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know what? I'm going to hold the camera.
Do they even know where that reference is from? They would have to see the vlog.
Yeah.
Go and watch our Sweden vlog and you'll see
watch
why.
Watch the Sweden vlog and you'll know what we're talking about.
But yeah, so get ready for, you know, the new content coming up. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in like the next month or two.
Yeah.
As things change. We're still working on like other things in the background. Well, we're trying to. We're getting to it. It's been a busy time, okay?
It's a lot going on with the Cousin Connection.
Exactly. But inshallah, things will work out.
Yeah.
You'll get some pretty good content in the next few months. But until then, remember to subscribe to the channel.
Yeah.
Remember to hit that like button. Follow us on all our platforms, Cousin Connection Pod. If you have anything to say about the topics we spoke about today or want to add something that I might have missed, because I feel like I was all over the place. My mind right now is kind of fried from the day.
Same.
But if you have anything to add to that, let us know in the comments there. Mm-hmm. But if not, we'll see y'all next week, inshallah. And yeah. Bye.
Bye. What else do you want to? This is the outtakes. If you're still here.
No. I'll just cut it inside there.
It'll literally be the outtake.
No. I you know my editing skills, Sarah.
I know, but it's kind of like exclusive content for those that stay.
Oh, okay. I feel like I was like Philip DeFranco today. Just like giving like all the updates on the news and stuff. Because the issue is that like there's not a lot you can argue with. Like I'm gonna give you this information, but it's nothing that is not much to discuss there because we're both on like the same page on those.
We need to
find more relationship topics, some stuff that we can fight on. I need to bring out my inner Andrew Tate.
Hold on. Do you want a relationship topic? Well, we didn't even address Chris Brown and Quavo's beef, but
I don't even know much about that one.
Not Chris Brown calling Quavo's diss track Google Raps.
It did sound like a nursery rhyme to me. But he always sounds like that.
That's actually, I'm sorry, that's really funny.
But apparently, like, Chris Brown has been trying to give him the smoke for years. Like, yeah. I saw someone post a video of him at the All-Star game.
Yeah, you saw that, right?
And, like, in 2021 and 2022, he called him out.
Yeah.
So they've been, like, on each other's, you know, for a minute. They've been going at each other for a minute, I mean.
They have.
Yeah, but it's so weird. These guys, these rappers, people are so weird, man. Like, they be sharing each other's girls and, like, doing all these weird things. Like,
but remember I was asking you this question in the car, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all, sit back down. We're about to get back into it. Remember I was like, you know, what are they beefing about? And why is it, like, all of a sudden, like, Taylor's dissing Kim and her new track on her album.
Yeah.
Drake and Kendrick. And now
I think Quavo, it's just a new meta. It's, you know how metas like happen on the internet?
There's also, what's his face? Rick Ross and Drake.
Well, Drake, yeah. No, but you know what metas are, right? Like trends, basically. Yeah, like on the internet, there's trends. On TikTok, there's trends for sounds. And there's trends for challenges and all that stuff. There's a meta for every industry. And I feel like the meta right now for the music industry is beef.
Well, I was watching this like TikTok actually, where they were saying like, you know, in the past rap and hip hop beefs were so celebrated because it was like, it was actually about the lyricism, you know, like the true artistry of like writing lyrics. Mm-hmm. And now, and they're trying to bring that back.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think Chris Brown, Drake got so much praise because they like, if you listen to Drake's, like the one that he released on Instagram, like when he's actually like a really good lyricist.
Well, yeah, he's always been a good lyricist. Yeah.
But like Drake's diss tracks turn into like tracks that people bump like regularly because of how good it is. And so I think they're trying to bring that art back at the expense of each other's pride, I guess. Maybe.
The thing is that it has like there has to be money behind it. So
yeah,
I don't think
they're making money.
I think it's less about the lyricism. Like sure, that's a positive for the in the rap community's eyes. But I feel like the main reason is because beef sells records. Beef gets more people to listen. So when you hear that Taylor Swift is sending shots to Kim Kardashian in her latest album, guess what that's going to do? is going to get people to go and check out her album. Yeah. And she's going to get more sales from that, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like all of this is just to drive sales, essentially, and drive the numbers up. Like yeah. anything. Like right now, any rapper who comes out with a diss record towards like either Drake or Kendrick, whatever, will most likely get a lot of eyes on him or her. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's going to come out next, but and they're going to benefit from it. Like that's they said,
it's clout chasing,
good,
essentially.
Any publicity is good publicity, right? Whether it be for beef, if you look at it in like a negative light.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are just, I feel like this is new meta. People are just using it as a way to get their streams up. Because like people have been saying for a long time, and it has been true that the rap genre has been dying.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a way for them to either revive it, or it's like the last
attempt.
Or yeah, or basically to revive it.
Or
what?
They're trying to distract from what's really happening.
That also could be a
cue the X-Files theme song.
Part of it as well, yeah.
Conspiracy.
I haven't heard Kendrick talk about Palestine.
Yeah, there's that. But mm-hmm. I was also thinking
Kendrick,
of the whole like
Diddy. Literally, Drake has talked more about Palestine than Kendrick has.
And
from
and
what
he
little
has,
Drake has talked about.
I know, but I'm. Yes, that there's that, but I was also thinking about like the whole thing with Diddy mm-hmm. and then potentially like Jay-Z's yeah. about to get exposed allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's all very interesting because yeah. we now know that like Hollywood, politics, like everything's really is actually connected mm-hmm. more than we think it is and yeah. more than we know it is. So you never know. This could all just be a ploy.
It could be, honestly. And like I wouldn't put it past them for trying. But, you know, it can only work for so long. You know, the propaganda is not propagandaing anymore.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I guess you could say that.
Oh, my God. Okay, we're good.
All right, before like, we start like, to get delirious and start yeah, talking about random stuff.
Again.
We're going
to
go.
Yeah, thank y'all for listening to the Cousin Connection podcast. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.